So joining us now is Aleem Maqbool, who's from our partner, the BBC. He joins us from Islamabad, Pakistan, to talk about the top international story this morning. Over the weekend, two very bold attacks, one officially by the Taliban. And this morning, we're dealing with 41 people dead after an explosion in a district near to the troubled Swat Valley. Aleem Maqbool, thanks for joining us.
Yes, hello.
Let's begin with the numbers and the nature of these attacks. What do you know so far?
Well, this one just happened in the last hour and a half or so in the Swat Valley. This is an area, I mean, it's a very picturesque sort of resort area. It used to be very popular with Western tourists, but over the last few years, it's been beset with problems with militancy. And what we hear is that a car filled with explosives drove into a military convoy, a convoy of the Pakistan Army, and at least 40 people have been killed. Now, it actually hit the convoy in an area where there's a market and where there's a hospital as well. So while some of the dead are troops, a lot of the dead are civilians as well.
Now, you also had this attack in Rawalpindi where Taliban fighters launched a bold attack, holding really military soldiers hostage. The army was able to get the hostages released, but it seems a line in the sand has been set down. This is revenge for the death of Batula Masood, and that if the Pakistan army attempts a new assault against the Taliban, it will be its undoing.
Yes, you might well be right. That attack in Rawalpindi was extraordinary in terms of its audacity, its sophistication. This was an attack on the main headquarters of Pakistan's army, what's supposed to be one of the most heavily secured compounds in the country. And yet militants not only attacked the front gate, a second group of militants seems to have got inside and held hostages within the heart of the main compound of the army. The siege was broken when commandos raided the building, and the Pakistani army is claiming it as a success, that rescue operation. A lot of the hostages were released, were freed, although three were killed. But a lot of Pakistanis are looking at the fact that the militants got in there in the first
Indeed.
Place. And if there is going to be this big offensive in the tribal areas, then a lot of Pakistanis are saying, well, who's going to protect us in the cities when the militants hit back?
And it's a very important question, not just for Pakistani civilians. Aleem Maqbool, of our partner, the BBC, joining us from Islamabad, Pakistan. Thank you so much. So listen to what Hillary Clinton said over the weekend.
The extremists in Pakistan, whatever their title or whatever their affiliation, are increasingly threatening the authority of the state. But we see no evidence that they are going to take over the state.
No evidence? The Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, says there is no evidence that the Taliban is either capable of or is intending to take over the state. Joining us now is Marvin Weinbaum, a scholar at the Middle East Institute, former State Department analyst on Afghanistan and Pakistan. Good morning, Marvin.
Good morning.
Can the Secretary of State make that claim? No evidence?
Well, I think what she's saying, we know that that's their ultimate intention. But what she's saying here is that certainly nothing is imminent as far as their ability to establish themselves in Islamabad, to take on and, if not defeat the army, then get the army to back off. So I think she's essentially correct, but I think that we should have no doubt about where they would like to be, especially under this new leadership of Hakimullah Masood.
Well, Marvin Weinbaum, a couple of senators and lawmakers over the weekend here in Washington raised the issue of nukes in Pakistan. How do we assess, as Americans, whether the nuclear weapons in Pakistan are safe as Pakistan grapples with this instability in dealing with the Taliban?
Well, the reason that we have expressed our own satisfaction that they're not in jeopardy is we've had a role in helping them set up their command and control system. We know what it's like. And as long as the military remains intact, we feel pretty confident that they'll be able to protect those nukes. I think what we need to be concerned about is that not only have the Taliban demonstrated the ability to penetrate areas thought to be safe, but to be concerned that there might be assistance from the inside. In fact, that may have very well occurred in the Rawalpindi event.
So Marvin Weinbaum, former State Department analyst on these two areas, we were talking just a moment ago about how the Taliban is claiming these attacks are retaliation for the killing of Batula Massoud, but that it seems to me that there's a lot of attacks. I mean, they seem to be using that as an excuse for a lot of these attacks. Is this the lead up to a larger offensive in terms of taking over as many regions in Pakistan as they possibly can?
Well, I think we really had concern about that a few months ago when they moved out of Swat into two adjoining districts. There's not much likelihood of that right now. You see these attacks, at least as I see them, they demonstrate the ability of the Taliban to take action just about anywhere in the country. And that is frightening.
It is frightening.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that they are across the board threat. After all, these attacks don't require anything but a car of explosives and someone willing to kill himself.
Well, then let's on the sort of interior level, what capacity does the Taliban have to turn members of the armed forces, to maybe bring them aboard and create alliances inside the military?
Well, what the army does is it has a fairly rigorous means of trying to sort out those kinds of people. They don't mind people being religiously oriented. In fact, many of the people in the junior ranks are. But they want their loyalty to be to the military first.
All right. Well, so the fairly rigorous steps that you've noted there, that'll be the takeaway this morning. We'll see if they work. Marvin Weinbaum, scholar at the Middle East Institute, former State Department analyst on Afghanistan and Pakistan, trying to assess the stability in Pakistan this morning. Thanks, Marvin.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.